Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, folks? Here we go, another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. And we sure are not.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Yes, indeed, folks. I want to make sure I shout out to my good friend Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. Get your copy today. Also, Liberty Rush, LibertyRush.com. Head on over to Liberty Rush, and it's social media without the liberal rhetoric you get from the leftist propaganda wing of the Democratic Party, because basically that's what they are. And I want to do a couple of shout-outs here. Oh, I forgot one of these. I want to talk about patriotshit.com, and I want to talk about these fine folks, but I can't remember, for crying out loud. I just can't remember the name of their store right now, but I got a new hat. All right, I got a new hat. You see my hat, my 3% pin, my American flag, my bald head, my new hat. There we go, folks. And, you know, it's... wear your MAGA gear every Tuesday. They got a group. So please, get out, share this around. Hey, Gary, what's happening, ladies and gentlemen? Gary Binford on the line. I see Steve is there. And I'm not going to waste any more time tonight here. We're going to get ready to rock and roll. I will be having the folks who made this, who sold me this hat, they're going to come on and advertise their show probably on the next show. And I want to get right with it. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, down in New Zealand, way down under, crikey, they had a mass shooting at a mosque. Some questions, maybe some answers, who knows? But we have, all the way from New Zealand, and we are talking to the future right now, folks. It is 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday in New Zealand, so we are literally going to be talking to the future. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Mandy from the future. If it ever comes up, it's still spinning. Welcome, Mandy from the future.
Hi, Mark. How are you, sweetie?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. So I do have to be cautious about what I say or what I do from here on in. Our laws are now forbidding us to do a lot when it comes to this mass shooting.
Right.
So,
Well, you know what I heard, ladies and gentlemen, this is pretty crazy. What I heard is folks who possess this guy's video that he made with his body cam or his GoPro camera, are facing possibly up to 10 years in jail if they get caught possessing this video. Is that true, Mandy?
Yes, it's true, but I've read over the law, and it is actually 14 years jail or a body corporate $200,000 fine.
Right.
So, and they've already actually arrested one guy and he's in custody at the moment for airing the video, in which I also did. And he had posted a week prior the mosque saying target. So he had other involvement too, but airing the video, which I did through a live of mine, it was prohibited. Hosting or holding or having the video is prohibited. I think it's even going to go down to the manifesto, everything.
All right, folks, I just want to say real fast that this fancy hat I have on my head is, I got it from Susan's Trump Country. And we will have the folks on who are selling these hats and how you can get them for $20 hat. Look at that. How fancy is it? So, folks, really crazy because the folks down under don't have the First Amendment. They don't have the United States Constitution. So they have censorship on something, and they come with steep penalties. So what's the latest on this guy and the situation and what's happening? What are they going to do to the New Zealand citizens?
Okay, so as for this guy right now, I dare say he's going to be in solitary lockdown because there's a lot of threats going on in jail. Well, apparently he is very marked man. Our government is looking at deporting him back to Australia, but that's irrelevant. What is coming out, though, is, and I've gone through a lot of, I've just waited till the mainstream media BS is out. I don't follow or pick up much out of that itself, but what I've done is I've gone and utilised a very dear friend of mine and relied on what he's given me, and then I've utilised another local guy, New Zealand guy, and I've looked at what he said, and all this comes together, not just for what I thought, but what I have been saying for a very long time.
So this
is a black ops. Something in this is black ops. There is connections of this guy all over the world. Apparently he is also a known Muslim, but whatever side of the fence of it he is, I don't know. This is just what's coming out. There is going to be, I dare say, this week is just going to be a lot of no-nonsense stuff. It's the weeks after that will be more telling, but whether we get this released over here is going to be a different story.
I know you guys are having issues being able to tell the whole story, and it's kind of crazy. One of the things that folks aren't being told is, because I have a gentleman at my job who is Serbian, and he happens to be following the story as well. And apparently this guy was into the history of Serbian warriors. In fact, in the video, as he's driving up to the mosque, he's playing a Serbian battle hymn or battle song from like 1992 when Serbia was at war with like, who were they at war with? I forget now who they, I guess the Islamics. So they were fighting the Muslims there, and Slobodan Milosevic was trying to do his thing. And I think that's the time. And,
Now, you're saying that a video came out, which I've shared, and it's of a Muslim sheikh or a sheikh or whatever it is, I don't know, speaking whatever language it is, I don't know, but it is translated to English. This was a mosque of the happy-go-lucky ones. Anyway, since my surgery, I can't even get everything out anymore, Mark. So anyway, he reckons it was, how to explain, he reckons it was a Muslim attack on a Muslims, and that they were the Sunnis, whatever you call it, mosques that were attacked. And he's saying it's such and such a Muslim group attacking that mosque. And
right. This
has come from a Muslim guy himself.
Are there other suspects? Are there other suspects?
Right. They have arrested 4 in total. 3 men, 1 woman.
Right.
But
so this was a planned
after what
attack.
I beg pardon?
This was definitely a planned attack.
Oh, this is definitely a planned attack. The police have known about this. It was definitely a planned attack. That's a definite. He had been staging this for 2 years. It was only in the last 3 months, I think, he decided it was going to be Christchurch.
Right.
But it was apparently, according to the manifesto, meant to be America.
I want to talk manifesto. Folks, have you ever noticed that these people always have a manifesto? What's up with the manifesto thing? I don't get that. Makes you wonder, don't it?
All his crazy manifestos have
freaking manifestos.
His manifesto matched one of the other manifestos that have been out. That's what I've been told.
Right.
So that's interesting. And in that, he admits he's not, when it comes to schooling and that, he failed worse than me, from what it sounds. That was a pretty well-written manifesto. A very
right.
well-written manifesto, actually, I would have to say. I don't believe, if he's got the schooling he said he's got, don't quite believe that's his. I'm not saying it wasn't done for him, but I don't believe they're his words precisely. It was too well written. But look, where was he between the time he made his money when he was 22 to 2 years ago when he showed up in New Zealand? He was all over Turkey, the Middle East.
Right.
He was
crazy.
In Pakistan. He was all over the show. Here's a couple other questions out here. Right now we've got a rugby team in Christchurch called the Crusaders. Been around for nearly 100 years. They're now being told to change their name. Now the question is Christchurch going to have to change its name?
Is there claims of possible Antifa involvement in this? Or a presence supporting it?
They're saying neo-Nazis, but the logo tells me otherwise. And even the logo in the center of the big picture on the manifesto, that centerpiece is a logo linked towards Antifa. The patch was Antifa.
Right.
Yeah.
He's
neo-Nazi,
you know,
but that
may be
Charlottesville.
You know what's so crazy about this whole situation is they're blaming President Trump in America for a lunatic from Australia killing people in New Zealand, and I don't get it. It's freaking nuts.
Yep, I know. But, you know, they're going to probably blame Trump, too, for 9/11.
Yep. Yeah, you know.
You notice how this.
I'm
going to
say it again. They'll
probably blame Trump for 9/11 as well, you know? But
yeah.
Look how
yeah.
this has hit global recognition, just like 9/11 did. But yet, look at all the killings in South Africa. That's not hitting
right.
the global platform.
They are killing Christians all over the Middle East and North Africa. They are persecuting Christians, and it's not making the news. So I've been making a point to get over to my page and show all the slaughter of Christians. That's not making the news. And this is all New World Order bullcrap, what's going on down there. This is a false flag psychological operation to get
and
the
weapons. You know
weapons
why Christchurch was the best place to do this? Christchurch was the perfect place to do this. Because 8 years ago, we had that massive earthquake that flattened the city. 170-something lives lost. But you saw the country come together for it. You saw Christchurch people just come together for it. Okay? Literally, you saw... And this is exactly what they've done with this. Everyone has come for it. Everyone is standing in solidarity down there, right around this country. That's the bleeding heart thing.
Well, listen, if you would like to keep us updated and come on once a week until this is all settled, I'll give you 15 minutes at the top of every show for a month.
Not a problem.
If you want to. That's up to you.
Yeah,
I got a guy in the live feed from California. Brent is asking, what was the writing on the weapon? Some of it, Brent, that we know for sure because I have a friend from Serbia, are Serbian war heroes of the past. One of the main ones is a guy who infiltrated the enemy and killed the enemy's general with a knife to the heart before being tied to four horses and ripped to pieces.
Yeah.
There's just a little bit of history there, folks. And these people are sick and twisted. And this is what his ideology comes from. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump. Mandy, I got a big show tonight. I got to kind of move on. If you want to stick on the line, you can. If not, check out the live feed or head on over to www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation, and you can listen to it on the Internet.
Oh, most certainly. Look, hey, thank you. And also look at the guy that just came over here. He was bearing symbols on his hands that beared on those guns as well. So,
right.
And he came from America, so it's got a lot there's big hands in this.
Thank you again, Mandy. If you want to stay on the line, that's up to you. I'm going to put you back on hold and bring in our next guest, Steve Ronnebeck. Family's here in the USA. His son was a young man going to college, working a job at a convenience store, and over a pack of cigarettes lost his life to the hands of an illegal immigrant. Kind of disgusting that this is going on, but Linda Clayton in the live feed, yes, that is Mandy from New Zealand. Yeah, she's all the way from New Zealand. She's a friend of mine. She's come on the show for a long time. She loves America, and she understands that the beacon of freedom for the world is the United States of America. And she's a fine patriot. I thank her so much for her patriotism. American patriot. She's more American patriot than so many people I know here living in this damn country. It's crazy. You know what I'm saying? So without further ado, you know what? I got. If you are scheduled to come on this show, please press 1. If you are Melinda, or if you are, I see Steve has already hit, and somebody else has already hit the, I guess that might be Marissa Hamilton, but I'm going to bring Steve in right quick. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, welcome back to the show. He's a return guest, doing great things on the fight for illegal immigration. He was there for the veto signing. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Ronnebeck, welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
How was that first segment, huh?
That, you know, I want to say that my family and I, our hearts go out to the people of New Zealand. This is a horrid, horrid action, and it just brings back memories of 9/11, and you know, to think that not only our country has to put up with this, but New Zealand, Australia, they're having to fight this fight too, and my hearts and prayers go out to all the families over there. What a beautiful country. I mean, it's a very peaceful country.
Anytime unarmed people in a place of worship, in a school, or anywhere get gunned down, it's ridiculous. I can't believe anybody would go and just gun down, whether you love the people or you hate, you know, you're supposed to love your enemy, for crying out loud. And this is what they want to do.
You're absolutely correct.
And I don't know if some of the folks didn't hear, but a lot of this guy's heroes were Serbian war heroes who did some amazing things. The one hero on this guy's gun actually infiltrated his enemy and killed their top general with an up to the heart. And then they tied 4 horses to each limb and tore them to shreds. Amazing war hero for the Serbian people. You know, we have war heroes too, whether we, you know, every country has war heroes, whether they were the enemy of ours or not. In their country, they have heroes. You know what I'm saying? Crazy.
Yeah.
So you were there in D.C. for the veto, correct?
Yes, sir. I got to stand next to the president when he signed.
And how amazing! And what was the atmosphere there on the ground? It was done in the Rose Garden, correct?
No, it was in the Oval Office.
And it was. What happened in the Rose Garden?
We were
something in the Rose Garden. I'm horribly misinformed here today, folks. I'm very sorry.
Yeah. No, we were in the Oval Office, and I got to stand just to the right of the president, and just to the right of me was Marianne Mendoza and Kent Terry. Brian Terry's brother. And then we had more than a dozen sheriffs from all across the country. A.J. Lauterbach, Mark Lamb, who's sheriff here in Pinal County, was behind the president. It was just an exciting day. It was part of history. And I feel honored that I was there for a moment in history you're there. You can't change it. It's history. It's something that's just amazing. Did something for the American people. He did something to show the left and these radical idiots and even some of our own Republican idiots that he's going to protect America. And he doesn't care how he does it.
Yeah, I just don't understand why the left wants to protect illegal aliens and not American citizens. I can't figure this one out for the life of me. It's pretty unbelievable. I want to ask real fast, because we have another guest. Marissa coming on. Is she in the same area code as you?
Yes, she is.
All right, I think she's on the line there. I see the same area code. And Melinda, if you're on the line too also, please press 1 so that we can bring you in here in a few minutes. Okay, so I think, and there's Melinda. Thank you, Melinda. I'm going to bring in Marissa real fast because she's doing some amazing stuff too. Folks, I'm just going to introduce a quick talk to Steve for another minute, but ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Also, on a different end, Marissa Hamilton is going to join us, and she's brought to me through Steve. Steve has brought her to the show. They're working on some stuff, but it's not picking up her phone. The thing's just spinning, so I'm trying to blab while the thing spins and she comes on the line, but I don't know what's going on. I've been having nothing but trouble with the internet. I don't know what's going on. So I'm trying to get our friend in here. So let's try and click again. Crying out loud. All right, Steve, so after signing, what did you guys do? Did you guys get right on a plane and go home, or did you just stick around, get to hang out, have some lunch with the president? What happens after something like that? Do you get to hang out with the president for a couple minutes?
Well, actually, no. I mean, let's be honest, he's a busy man. He had other things to do. He's also dealing with a crisis in New Zealand, and he has to be updated on that, and there's other things going on. We actually, after it was over, we got to spend a minute or so with him, and then we were all ushered back out so he could continue on with his day. But again, he took the time out to do something for the American people. And believe it, I believe that he did it, and he said it, that, you know, our children didn't die in vain, and he's going to get this wall built.
And it's very important because, I was listening to Sean Hannity today and folks, listen, I don't know about you, but Fox News to me is except for Sean Hannity, and I can listen to him on the radio. I don't have to watch the TV show anymore. Turn off Fox, man. They can't judge Jeanine for speaking her mind. They're trying to censor and squash anybody who has an opposing view that isn't the new Green Deal and open borders and F the American people. You know what I mean? Unreal. I don't know what's going on. Hey, Marissa, can you do me a favor? Hang up and call back in. For some
sure.
Reason,
can
it's
you
not...
hear me?
Oh, there you are. You're in. All right, cool.
Yeah. It said on Marissa a minute ago, but you were talking, so I just wanted to let you keep going.
Well, on my up, it's showing just a spinning circle. It doesn't show you that you're a hot mic yet, that your microphone is cold as ice. But there you are. Welcome to the show.
Well, technology is wrong. Imagine that. Shocking.
I've been having weird stuff happening on the internet, so maybe they're on to me. I don't know. another truth speaking patriot. We got to get the hammer down on. No, you know, it's crazy. So, Marissa, tell us a little bit about what you're doing. Folks, there are a lot of children coming across this border, and I don't know if you know, but one of the rules is if you come across with a little kid, you're in. So, I believe child trafficking is now skyrocketing, and probably 80% of these kids are not with families, and that's why they got to separate these people at the border. They're like, oh, my God, they're separating the kids from the families. No. Maybe 20% of the families get temporarily separated, and after 2 or 3 days are reunited with their children if they are found to be their kids. If not, they are sent into the foster care system. Is that correct, Marissa?
Yeah, essentially. I've done a little bit of research on this from the immigration side, and that's essentially what I'm finding, is that we're basically the crisis that we have at the border, and it really is a crisis considering how many people have come into even Arizona alone, that as these children get apprehended by ICE, and that's just not directly at the border, but even in the raids that are happening in neighborhoods where they'll apprehend illegal immigrants there, then the children are separated from their families. And the thing that's interesting to me is that the research that I found is that this has been standard practice for a very long, long time. My background has been more on researching Child Protective Services and the practices that are happening to American families, because it's quite distressing when you look under the hood of that system and see what's happening. There are so many families that are not abusive that are losing their children because of the funding, the financial model that's happening behind the scenes with Social Security money. And
I'm in a couple of group chats on Facebook, and we've done a few shows on the CPS and the Department of Children and Family human child trafficking that goes on. Because when you take a kid from one place, put him in another, and there's an exchange of money, I'm sorry, but that's trafficking.
Yeah,
no matter
absolutely.
How you slice.
Absolutely. And court records have shown that it's about that from the Social Security Fund, it ends up being roughly around an average of $80,000 per child per year that a state department is given through Title IV-E funding with the Social Security Fund. And so as I was seeing what was happening with the immigration crisis, I was seeing the same patterns happening to these children as have been happening to American families. But what was infuriating to me was the fact that the media was so quick to cover these stories, and yet they're so quick to damn American families for doing the same for worse things happening to them, where they're not actually neglecting their children at all. And so as I've been researching it, I had talked to Steve about this when we were at CPAC, and I said, I think this is the same exact system that's affecting both sides of the aisle. And as I've done research, I found that it essentially is the same system. And the interesting thing is that this was created by Hillary Clinton in 1997. So for the Democrats to just freak out about this is their system. They own this. They own separating families. And under the Obama administration, we had so much strife of an increase in the increase in velocity of American families being separated from their children. Over many times, it was either light neglect in that the family just needed some help or some education, but they should not have had their children removed, or the allegations were completely false altogether. And so as go ahead.
There's some cold-hearted people out there who just for spite or for vengeance or because they were scorned for one reason or another would actually go so to call CPS on somebody and falsely accuse them.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time.
Once you're in the system, that's it. Until that kid turns 18, it's nothing but headaches and trouble.
Absolutely. And so when I was researching it, I was wanting to see, okay, well, what was happening under the Obama administration? And for those that are interested in this topic, chronicleofsocialchange.org is a great resource to go and research and find out everything on child welfare. And they've done some great articles on immigration reform. And I found this article back from February 2013 called New Details on Obama's ICE Suggest More Child Welfare Immigration Clashes. And essentially, that administration created the process that's separating kids from their parents. And so they just assume that the parents and the kids need to be separated from each other, assuming that maybe it's not their parents and maybe they've been trafficked, which is a fair assumption. But from there, children are getting lost in the system.
Can you give me 1 second? Because we're getting a lot of folks joining the broadcast right now. I want to say, folks, this is Patriot Nation Radio Show live, and we are talking right now with Marissa Hamilton. Steve Ronnebeck is on with us as well. Now, coming up real short here, we will have Melinda Henry Oporto from San Diego area. She's doing some great video work and reporting right from the front lines on this border crisis. So you want to be sure to seek her out on Facebook. We're going to bringing her up here in a minute. And we don't usually take too many calls because we got a busy night, but I'll give out the phone number really quick.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
One of the best places to listen is right there on hold on the phone switchboard. Nice and clear, and you get all my songs that I'm going to play tonight right off the switchboard. www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation, as well on the internet. All right. sorry to cut you off like that, Marissa, but the audience went from 17 to 50 just like that. So
nice.
I figured I needed to.
That's exciting.
Yep. That's from the live.
Mark?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mark. All right, so
yes.
Part of the reason I wanted Marissa on the show with me, and she threw out a number already, okay? So I want the listeners to think about this. They're separating these children from families at the border when they cross. Now, what Marissa has informed me of, and that's why I've gotten involved with Marissa, is $80,000 a year per child. Okay?
It's crazy.
Now, some of these children, yeah. Now, some of these children that are being separated are probably and most likely products of kidnapping. Because remember, I've told you, there's 15,000 missing children in Mexico right now.
Right.
15,000 reported missing children. Now, here's the horrendous thing. These children, they're not trying to find the parents, putting them in the foster care system. They're collecting the money, and they stay there. They're not trying to find their parents. They're not trying to reunite these children with their families. They're keeping them in the foster care system. Now, Marissa's going to tell you what happens to a lot of these children in the foster care system, okay? So I'm going to let Marissa go back to what she's telling you, but I just wanted your listeners to know that there's a price tag on everything, folks. There's a price tag.
Yes, there
and,
is. And that's scary thing,
now,
that they would put money over the freedom and liberty and lives of little kids who are being used as pawns and trafficked for profit. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I
want to make another distinction here, because Democrats like to pin this on Republican policy. And as I stated for the listeners that just got on, this actually comes from Hillary Clinton's AFSPA Act from 1997. And Obama is the one that in part created the system where they're purposely separating children from their families and then
right.
having them end up being fed through the child welfare system
right.
based on
there
research
was a,
that I'm doing.
There was
exactly.
a famous picture of children in cages, and they're like, oh, look, President Trump is putting the kids in cages, except the picture was under Obama's administration from 2012. Oops.
Yeah,
but once
exactly.
they realized the mistake, they never corrected themselves after the mistake. But
no.
run with that. Putting the kids in cages, and that's bullcrap.
Yeah, exactly. And so in a little bit of the research, I found that in April of 2018, there was a lawsuit and a district judge ordered that 2,700 children who were forcibly placed in the custody of HHS through ICE and were being funneled through our child welfare system were ordered to be returned back to find their parents and returned back to them. So what that tells me is that most likely what Steve just said is correct. They're not doing very much work to try to figure out who their parents are. And so that means that these children by default end up getting funneled through our child welfare system. Now, the other interesting
right.
thing is in looking at an article of an interview of someone that works on this in Arizona, we have no idea from our Department of Child Safety in Arizona how many of the kids that they have in their custody are immigrant kids. But what the worst thing is what happens to these kids after they get into the child welfare system. There
Speaking
is
of kids, I just want to say I want to shout out to my good friend Paul and his family on the arrival of their new daughter this week. God bless you, Paul.
Aww.
I am the godfather of his son, Keith, and I'm proud to know him. God bless him. Go ahead, ma'am. Sorry to cut you off again.
Sure. No problem. So essentially what's happening, the stats in our child welfare system, our American system dealing with American children, is that we have an 80% failure rate in our foster care system. And what that means is that 80% of the kids that go through our foster care system are going to end up in poverty, in child sex trafficking, homeless, or dead, or in jail.
All right.
And when you look at the stats... Yeah, those illegal alien children are going to have the same exact fate. And so when I took our local police department, Civilian Academy, they said that the number one place that they pick up kids from that are involved in child sex trafficking comes from group homes with foster care. That's the number one. That's the number one source of sex trafficking in America.
I saw a story where maybe you know this story. You probably do. Where there was a young girl who was taken from our house and wound up in a group home that was heavily secured, and her and one or two other girls wound up disappearing, and they had nobody had any answers. Do you know about this story? Story true?
Yeah, unfortunately, that type of a story is so common. I've worked with hundreds of families over the last 3 years since I started working on this issue, and that issue is so common. It breaks my heart to know what's happening to our kids in this system. And we have a huge failure on both sides of it. We have a failure at what we're doing to these kids, and we have a failure to what we're doing to the families, because we're not rehabilitating these families, and most of the cases are families that either – yeah, I'm not sure what the background is of that.
Steve, is that in your background? That is loud.
I'm sorry. I'm outside. I was actually, I'll be honest, I had some free time, so I went for a ride on the bike. So I don't have a whole lot of free time lately.
Well, we are now cycling around in the Arizona area. I hope you're enjoying the ride.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get on the Harley once in a while, you know?
Yeah, that's a pretty quiet Harley.
Well, it's just the Harley's parked. I'm actually standing. Mark, I'll be honest with you. I'm standing at a QT, which is, everybody knows, where Grant was working when he was murdered. So, but you know, Mark, I try to bring you all sides of this immigration problem.
Yeah, thank you.
And to me, what Marissa's talking about is just as horrendous as these people that are trafficking the children actually for sex and trafficking the children to get across the border. And then these children are being victimized again once they get across the border. And there's got to be some checks and balances here to find out, okay, was this child kidnapped or was this child bought, or is this actually their family? You can't.
Right.
You can't.
That's the problem that
keep happening.
The people don't understand, though, that 80% of these kids are coming with some trafficker. So they're getting trafficked, and then they get put into the system, and then we traffic them. Basically, that's what Steve's saying here, is they get trafficked from wherever to wherever, and then they wind up in the foster care system here in America, and then this foster care system traffics them for $80,000 a year per child. So the more beds they fill, the more money they make. Someone's getting fat cat bank accounts, and it ain't me. You know, we're struggling.
Yeah, what I haven't been able to research, which I would like to do next, and if anyone out there wants to do the research, please go ahead, is the same group homes that are doing the group homes under our American child welfare system, the same facilities that are making money off of the children in the immigration system. And I mean, really, there's no excuse for today in the modern world where we can have DNA testing at our fingertips. There's really no excuse for us to not be having these children go back with their families. Now, the argument that's being made by the government is that it's within the best interest of these children, because some of them are U.S. citizens, to stay in the U.S. through our foster care system. And I'm like, if they want to go back with – if these kids are able to go back with their families, regardless of them being citizens or not, their parents are citizens, let them stay with their families. Why in the world would we subject them through our child foster care system? And my argument to make back to Democrats is either you guys either just must absolutely hate immigrants, and especially immigrant children, if you think that this process is within the best interest of these families. If you think funneling them through a system that's going to be fraught with bureaucracy, having them trapped within the immigration system, and then have their kids separated from them and funneled through the child welfare system that was created by Democrats, like, you absolutely must hate these people, because that is a horrible life to live. They would be so much better off if we could simply reform our immigration system so that it's common sense and protects the interests of the American people and is something that's safe for all parties involved, and then protect our border.
It has become completely apparent that protecting the American people is not on the Democrats' mind. Protecting their power and making sure that they get enough votes. As you can see, all the Democratic states are banding together to do away with the Electoral College. It's crazy what's happening. And I don't know if you guys, I know Steve knows. Marissa, do you know Melinda down in San Diego? And have you seen what she's been doing? I'm going to bring her on real quick. You can't believe what's going on. Yeah.
No, I haven't. I haven't heard the work that she's been doing. One last thing, though, I want to leave you with before we do that. I work for my city councilman, and we got a call the other day from a pastor that's the president of the Hispanic Association of Churches here. And she was in a panic because all the churches here are filled to capacity. They are not able to take in any more immigrant families. And so now ICE is essentially just dropping families off at random intersections. They were dropping them off at the Greyhound bus station, and they can't do that anymore. Greyhound told them no more. And so now they're just randomly dropping them off in the city.
That's crazy.
So these families that don't speak English are just being added to our homeless population.
I'm sure we're going to get the same story from Melinda. Welcome to the show, Melinda. Sorry to keep you on hold for so long. Ladies and gentlemen, Melinda Oporto from down in San Diego on the front lines making some great videos. She actually got into one of the churches and walked around the whole place. But we'll talk about that in a minute. How are you, Melinda? What's happening?
How are you doing, Mark? Thank you for having me on again.
I'm glad to be bringing the truth to what's going on in this crazy world. That's what I'm glad about. I'm doing great. I'm very proud to have all of you on speaking the truth and telling folks what's really happening on the front lines in this debacle, this manufactured, quote-unquote, crisis. Folks, hashtag the crisis is real. It's not a crisis. This is a national emergency. 300 kids a week. 300 of our American citizens a week are overdosing and dying, times 52 weeks due to math. That's an emergency. That's a national emergency. But they're American kids. If the illegal immigrant children were dying like that, they might be doing something. But right now, 300 kids a week are dying from fentanyl and heroin and whatever else is coming across the border. So, Melinda, what have you been up to today? I didn't get to see any of the live feeds to do anything fun today and exposing the madness.
Well, I didn't do anything today other than playing on my keyboard, but the last couple of days has been really interesting. We had that border rush. I'm sure you saw the video that went viral where they some reports said there was 35, some said there was 60 that made it through our border the other day. I'm sure you saw that.
I counted like 30 before I stopped watching, and there were still people going through.
Right. Well, the one of the last reports and one of the reports I got from the Border Patrol was approximately 60 made it through, and then they don't know how many of them actually that they didn't catch. So that's the ones that they caught. That's not including the ones that they didn't catch.
And you know what? You know what was so horrible?
Uh-huh.
You know what was so horrible about that video to me was there was a Border Patrol vehicle sitting right there, and they didn't care. In fact, some of them ran right past it, and the guy couldn't do anything.
He
turned around and started driving. You know, what are you going to do? There's 60 people running down the beach, and you got one car. You know, one vehicle.
Right.
You fit three people.
I went live there. Me and Amy went live there 2 days ago to show you guys exactly that area and how they managed to end up catching all of them. Because what you don't see in the video is that the terrain, it's like a two mile walk in any direction to anything. I mean, it's just out in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, they actually, you know, by the time they called in support or whatnot, they did catch most of them, but not all of them.
It's insane. And now is that that fence has been covered in barbed wire and stuff like that now, right?
Well, it's that part of the wall was one of that's where the caravan first hit our border wall, was right there in that little area, and that was the first place that was actually they laid up the Constantine wire. They laid it from the top to the bottom to the top. And but what they did when they broke through the other day was they cut that razor wire. They put a rock in between that fencing to spread the fence apart and in order to squeeze through it. But when I went there 2 days ago, me and Amy went there to check and see what's going on, if they upped security down there, whatnot. There was still only one Border Patrol agent down there. And they were reapplying the razor wire. They were putting it back up, like the new wire. So I have it on video where they were tearing down the old wire, and they were putting new Constantine wire up there, which, you know what, from the very beginning, that Constantine wire has not stopped one single migrant from coming through there that wants to come through. You know, kids, women, it doesn't matter. I have videotaped them time and time again coming through that Constantine wire.
All right. So now, the other day, I was watching a live feed, and you were called to a secret center somewhere in Southern California. You were down on the border. You were down by the fence and stuff, doing your daily thing, and you got a call. And what did that call say, and where did it lead you?
Well, we had actually over here in San Diego, they keep it really hush hush, you know, where the shelters are at, where they're keeping these migrants, or I call them invaders. So me and Amy had been looking for for weeks.
Invaders.
Huh?
Oh my God.
Invaders. We don't call them migrants or immigrants. They're invaders. So
migrants and immigrants follow the law and the system.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, we argue with people all the time when they say, no, these people are here legally. But let me explain that. These people are not here legally. These are not people that waited in line to get their paperwork. These are people that dug underneath our fence. They broke through our fence, or they climbed over our fence. They turn themselves into Border Patrol, and then Border Patrol gives them a court date to come back in a few months, which 99% of them never return back for their court date, and they're lost into the U.S. So if you want to call that legal, then you know what? Me and you are not on the same page, because that doesn't register right with me.
Now you heard Marissa.
They're not nowhere.
Marissa said in their area, which we had a mm-hmm. couple of folks call from the border in Arizona too, but in their area, she says that the churches are full to capacity and the buses are just dropping people off in any old location now. Is that also occurring in your area?
Well, yeah, they've been doing that for months here. What they do is the immigration drops them off just at Greyhounds. They drop them off they were dropping them off at the McDonald's over here, at bus stops. But that's when, you know, these human traffickers, these groups that have been supported by our governor, they got that big shelter. They got the $25 million to house these folks. So you asked a question earlier, why is the left supporting these people before they're supporting Americans? Why? It's because it's all about the money. All about the money, Mark. All about the money. These people are making millions off of them. Per head, they're making money per head. Every invader that comes over here, these corrupt groups are making money off of these people, and that's why they're putting these people above Americans.
Right, it's pretty sad what's happening, what's occurring. It's unbelievable, actually. I'm kind of shocked.
It's very sad.
You know what's crazy is, folks, I'm in my 50s, so what that means is my generation is letting this happen. And I learned history in school. They still taught history. They taught us that the Tea Party guys are heroes and that George Washington was a hero, contrary to what they teach the kids today in some of the schools, that the Boston Tea Party and the guys who did that are domestic terrorists. You know? It's pretty scary stuff. So now you get a call. you get a call and you go up to this this processing center. And what's happening up there when you get there?
Well, what's happening when these people come over, or they come over here illegally, they turn themselves into Border Patrol. They pretty much walk up to Border Patrol and let themselves be handcuffed. And what they do is they just give them the paperwork, and they're not getting asylum. They're claiming asylum, and it takes months to go to report and went, ouch. I don't know what happened right there. Hold on.
I don't know. We're still live.
There. Sorry. I know that wasn't loud. So what they're doing is they're claiming asylum. Don't get that mixed up with they're getting asylum. They're only claiming asylum. So the Border Patrol, ICE, whoever, gives them their paperwork, tells them to come back to court. And like I said, these people, they're taken to these shelters from 24 to 72 hours only. And then these shelters are busing them off everywhere, across the United States. You name it, they're going to your state, trust me. So they're busing them into so-called sponsors, which are more people that are making money off of these migrants. So it's all about the money, If you cut this money from them, let me tell you, these people are not going to be helping out these invaders. You know what I mean? If they had a heart to help people, what I say, if they really had a heart to help people, they'd be helping our homeless people on our streets, but they're not, because they're not making money off of our homeless people. They're making money off of these invaders.
And that's the main reason why they are doing this. It's kind of crazy. That money, it just kills me, that money is more important than a human life, because I guess in some evil way, money makes life easier. Look, I'm broke as a joke, but I'm happy. I eat every day. I got the lights are on. See, I got my show. I'm a happy guy. But I would never sacrifice the life of a child. Even if someone said, look, I'll give you 80 grand right now. 80 grand. Take this kid, put him in the trunk, drive him to Arizona. No, I'm not doing none of that. Why would anybody do something like that? They put people in the back of semi-trailers, and then they get, oh, my God, I got pulled over. They run away, and they leave the people in the back of the semi-trailer or something. They're half dead. They're dehydrated, been in the back of this truck tractor trailer for how long? Starving and thirsty. 100 people. They're crazy what they're doing, that they are using people as commodity in this day and age, that this would still happening in this day and age.
Well, the sad part is that it's happening right in front of everybody's eyes, and they're allowing it to happen. Before that'd be something that you would keep hidden, people would do it, undercover, but now they're doing it right out in the open, because even our government is involved. Our government is giving the green light to this happening. So Mark, I don't know if you saw, did you see the video where they used the two children and threw them over the fence as decoys the other day?
It's unbelievable. The things that I'm seeing are unfathomable. So now you get to this place, the gates are open, the people are coming and going, and now it's a public place. The guy tells you it's a public place, and you go to step in. What happened?
And we just had on the news here these last 2 days, they made an announcement. Spring break is coming up here in Southern California, and a lot of people here in San Diego, the teenagers, go over to Tijuana for spring break. So they just announced these last 2 days, they've announced a national emergency, a travel warning for everybody going over into Tijuana. It is now ranked the most dangerous city in the world.
Let's go have a party. Woohoo! it's mad.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
So, Melinda, now, what I was asking was, you're at this processing center, and the people are walking in and out, they're going, and you ask the guy, he tells you it's a public place, so you're going to proceed in. What happened?
Oh, okay. That was one of the caravan shelters, the secret churches, and people called it and told us, that they were housing them there. So what I did is I just walked in holding my phone nonchalantly where it didn't look like I was filming. I was just carrying my phone. And I just looked around inside there, and this was the people that were in there were, I think that was the church where they had, it was full of Haitians. All the Haitian migrants or invaders were being housed there. And I actually just walked around from room to room, and I pretended like I was going to donate my time as a volunteer, so they gave me a phone number to call or whatnot. And actually, if you've seen the video, you know, I didn't have no issues with anybody. I filmed it. I walked out, and I left. And then come to find out the next day, the people had ended up calling the cops on me that they got scared of me. I was like, such a lie. They gave me, they walked me out. They gave me the phone number. You know, I didn't scare anybody, you know, but I just gave a look to everybody, the inside of one of these places and what they're doing. So, you know, but that's happening all over the United States. It's not just here now. They're busting these people everywhere now.
It's crazy. And so you went to the first place, they slammed the gate in your face. They had a medical bus outside. They had a medical tent set up.
Right.
What happened there? Is that the same place?
No, that was a different place. They were actually housing or bringing in 200 people a day processing through that church. And, you know, you've seen where they closed the gate. The gate was actually open until
right.
me and Amy showed up. And then they tried to close the gate and tried to say we were trespassing or whatnot. But what these churches that they were housing them at supposedly has closed down, and they moved them all to the central location, which is on 6th Avenue in downtown San Diego, which was the old courthouse that our governor gave to the caravan. So they're supposedly housing them all in that one location, and that's the location where you saw the city buses. Like they transported them all over there on our city buses, like bus after one after the other. They were bussing them in into that that new caravan church.
And right there in California, good old Skid Row. Look what's happening on Skid Row. You know, it's crazy. How many people are camped out on Skid Row, do you think?
You know what, you can't give a count. And we have a Skid Row here in San Diego as well, just like in Los Angeles. And
right.
I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, you know, are laying on our sidewalks. They're you know, sleeping in tents, they're sleeping in cars, you name it. We have one of the largest homeless populations there is.
Are they defecating in the streets? And going to the
bathroom? We had a big outbreak of hepatitis last year here in San Diego. I mean, we had, I forgot how many cases of it. So what the city started doing was bleaching down our sidewalks every single day, which they're still doing today. Every morning they bleach down the sidewalks because people are defecating on the sidewalks. They live there, so that's, they have no restrooms. That's where they go to the restroom at. So. And you could smell
it.
Well,
we got
to
make sure
people
come here and get everything. We got to make
sure
these people. It's crazy. And you know, I don't know if you heard my show when I had another lady on, and she interpreted for me to a Honduran that was in the caravan, and he told Steve was there that they are advertising it on TV, and I hear another caravan, 15,000. Heading this way, and folks don't seem to get it. It's going to be caravan after caravan after caravan after caravan because they're here.
Oh,
holy
yeah.
crap, we gotta go. They're rushing here before the wall.
They've been advertising it from day one, from before the first caravan hit our borders. That's how they came to know about it. They went down. They advertised it on TV. There was people that went door to door, walked down the streets over there, promising people as little, as something small as we'll feed you as long as you get in this caravan. We'll go with this. We guarantee you to cross you into America. Just get in a caravan and go with this, you know. And but they advertised it from day one. And right now, what you have also is these people that are making millions on them. Like Rapid Response Network of San Diego Rapid Response. These people are going over into Mexico, and they're schooling them, teaching them how to cross our border and what to say to officials to get over here. because they're making money off of them. So yeah, so they're actually telling them what to say, how to do the paperwork, and everything. They're going over there. They're schooling them on how to do this.
So Melinda, if people want to follow you and watch your videos and stuff, how can they do that?
You can watch me. I only do Facebook. I do Facebook Lives most of the time. It's under Melinda Henry Oporto. You can also follow my partner in crime, Amy Sutton. We both do this live on Facebook. Majority of the time we're live. So we do have you can also watch our videos on Conservative Minutes on YouTube.
Right on. And Steve, you have any websites? How's the Rana Beck Foundation? You guys getting any donations for the billboards? If this is your time to shout out to the folks and tell them about what you guys are doing with the Rana Beck Foundation, the billboards, and all that.
Yep, we're hopefully, again, we're still trying to get up enough money. We had a falling out with the one billboard company that we're trying to restore. But yeah, they can go to the Grant Rana Beck Foundation and donate there. And the one thing I want to stress is WeBuildTheWall.us. Folks, we're within weeks of breaking ground on private land. People are going to build this wall to stop this madness, to stop the money
yes.
going to these people that are taking advantage of us and the illegals. I mean, we got to stop it. So if people really want to help us get the wall built. Let's stop the madness. Let's stop the victimization of people, children. And you know, it's heartbreaking to hear what Marissa said. I mean, it's heartbreaking to me. I lost my son to an illegal immigrant. And unfortunately, but fortunately, thank God, his suffering in this life is over. But what about all these children? What about
yeah.
the suffering that they're going through? And they're going to continue going through the rest of their lives.
Just because some dude's trying to make some money off the backs of these people. It's really just an unbelievable situation. It looks like Marissa dropped. I was trying to bring her back in. Her call keeps getting dropped, so I was hoping she would have a website or a Facebook page. Steve, you don't know her page offhand, do you? If she has.
No, I don't, but they can follow Marissa on Facebook. It's Marissa Hamilton, and she's got information on her Facebook site. Trust me, Marissa and I are trying to work together to connect all the dots, because if we can
right.
connect the dots and find out that the Democrats are actually the ones responsible for these foster care homes and so on and so forth, and what people need to realize is a lot of these foster care homes and group homes are privately
yep.
run and funded by the
yeah.
by the government. So remember, Marianne Mendoza and I sat at this judicial hearing where, you know, the one degenerate from the left accused CBP and HHS of sexually assaulting these children. It's not our government that's doing it. It's these companies that were hired back in the day by the Hillary Clinton to take care of these. It's privatized. So when they're trying to make the government and our institutions like CBP and HHS, they're trying to make them look bad. They're only, if we can connect the dots, folks, and we'll break it here on your show, that we're going to connect the dots and we're going to prove to people this is a system that was instilled back in 97, like Marissa Hamilton told you, by Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
Mark,
we,
if you can, get our... Mark, if you can get our information over to him, because me and Amy can help him connect those dots. We have connected those dots, and if you pass our information over to him, you know, be glad to share that with him and show him.
Oh, that right. would be awesome. And Melinda, Steve Ronnebeck,
yes.
Just look me up on Facebook, message me, and we'll get together.
Will do.
I'll connect you back. I'll connect. Maybe I can make a little group chat where we could all get together.
Awesome.
That would be great.
You know? I want to thank you guys for coming on. I believe it's an important show. We got to keep doing this. We got to keep speaking. As developments keep coming, we got to keep speaking. I appreciate everything you guys are doing. It's very important work. And God bless you for being in the fight, even after the tragedy that you went through, Steve. It's incredible that you can muster the strength. I would do.
Well, thank you. Well, Mark, you've always been a friend, and I hope I'm a friend of the show, and I'm going to keep coming on and telling people the truth. They need to know.
Amen.
And
I,
thank
you, know, even if
thank
one
you
person,
Mark.
Even if one person tunes in, I'm gonna talk. I don't care. That's it. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mark, because you're just as important in this whole movement as we are. So you're doing your share, and you're not just sitting behind that keyboard pressing those buttons. You're up doing something about it. So
we're bringing the truth to the people. Not what you're going to get on CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, or any of these other fake news organizations. And now, Fox News now can't judge Janine. That's just out of hand. And I ain't watching that no more. I'll listen to my man Sean Hannity on the radio. You know what I'm saying? Just think.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard because now Tucker Carlson is going to take a hit and Sean Hannity is going to take a hit because we got to get the hell out of there. Screw them until they bring her back. I say. I want to thank you guys again for coming on the show. It's been a great episode. I have some things coming up on the schedule. I haven't written them down yet, so I'm going to skip the schedule. But we do have shows coming up every Thursday and every Monday and every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here. And we also have my good friend James Bostic and A Conservative Perspective, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Steve, Melinda, Marissa, and Mandy, thank you so much for coming on tonight. Please join
thank
me.
Thank you, Mark,
please,
and you
Mark.
Have a blessed day.
Yes, ma'am, you too. And do we have a nice crowd here on the live feed? So what I want to do, folks, is please stand and join me as we enjoy the national anthem as performed by Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com, Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. Get you a copy today. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, Dave Bray and the National Anthem. I hope it plays right away. Copy at DaveBrayUSA.com. Go over there today. Music on a Mission Storyteller Edition. Don't forget LibertyRush.com, PatriotShit.com, and our friend Kathy's store over there. I don't have the card. Please put the name of the store here on live feed. You know what I'm saying? And I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Another great episode is behind us. until we meet again, folks, Trump 2020, yes, indeed, Alex. I want to thank everybody for tuning in because without you, there is no show. Oh, and don't forget, Highway 19 in Spring Hill, Florida, Mattress Avenue. Get your mattress today and see Daryl. He'll give you a good deal. Until we meet again, folks, good night. You know, it's a mom-and-pop shop. They've been there in business for 26 years. Go to the mom-and-pop shops. Made in America bedding. You know what I mean? Good night, and God bless America.